Good evening, Rabbi Osei. I want to share with you a shayla that I got. I'll read you the text message. A Talmud Chacham in our shul sent me the following question. Hello. My wife wants to get a new shaytel now. Parentheses. I'm fine with it. I actually encouraged it. Good husband. Can she do it during the 3 weeks? Does she make a shechianu on it? That's the shayla. Could you buy a shaytel in the 3 weeks, or could you buy, those of you who aren't into shaytels, could you buy a suit or anything else that you want to buy during the 3 weeks? Maybe a shaytel is different than a suit because a suit's a beged. Beged, typically we say a shechianu. Maybe you'll argue that a shaytel is a head, and you're going to get a new head, then maybe you don't say a shechianu. Maybe you'll say it's very expensive. You know, you could buy 10 suits for the price of a shaytel, depending on how much your shaytels are and how much your suits are. Could be more, could be less. You could argue that maybe it has a regular din beged. You could argue that maybe it doesn't have a din beged at all. You could argue that it's also wear shaytels. You could argue a lot of things. So let's try to deal with the question of can you buy new clothing, and then maybe we'll see if we could apply any of that to shaytels or not. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not as clear-cut as people typically think about buying new clothing during the 3 weeks. Because if it was Aser, I would expect the Shulchan Aruch to say it's Aser to buy new clothes. Let me tell you the two words that the Shulchan Aruch does use when it talks about buying new clothing. Says the Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Hilchas Tisha B'Av, Tov li zaher. It's a good thing to avoid Milomer shechianu ben hamitzarem al prichadash o al malbush. It's a good thing to avoid saying, reciting Shechianu on either a new fruit or on a new garment. Those words, Tov li zaher, is all we have in the Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say Aser. It says it's a good thing to avoid. We don't want to say Shechianu, but that still doesn't tell us that I shouldn't buy the item. It just tells me I shouldn't. It's good to avoid reciting Shechianu on a new fruit or a new garment. So by the way, if we could pause for a minute, when a person buys shoes, do they recite Shechianu? They don't recite Shechianu. So if we're right that there's no halacha called buying clothing or not buying clothing during the 3 weeks, it's only halacha called avoid saying Shechianu. Well, if on shoes I never say Shechianu all year long, why don't I say Shechianu on shoes? Why don't we recite Shechianu on shoes? Because an animal had to die for the fact for you to have a shoe. So we're very environmentally conscious. We're very PETA friendly. Animal friendly, and therefore we feel bad for the animals. So at least as much, we're not going to say Shechianu when we do buy or don new shoes. So if that's the case, if there's no Shechianu, then it's clear that one is permitted halacha lemaisa. You can, yes, buy new shoes on during the 3 weeks. That's what should come out during the 3 weeks. Maybe the 9 days might be a little bit of a different halacha. We're talking about the 3 weeks. No Shechianu, so there's no problem of buying new shoes during this time period. Why is it that the Shulchan Aruch says we should avoid reciting Shechianu? So here, there's a little bit of a question, what the reason why we're not supposed to say Shechianu. The typical assumption is that there's a din in Hilchas Avelus that Avelim shouldn't recite Shechianu. That would be what we would assume. Says Magen Avram, that can't be the case. You know why? Why can't you say that the reason to avoid Shechianu is because a person is an Avelis during the 3 weeks and one of the Dini Avelis, like many other Dini Avelis, one of the Dini Avelis is not to say Shechianu? No, there are different levels of Avelis. You're right, that's a higher level of Avelis. But there's also levels of Avelis that we do have during the 3 weeks, like not going to weddings, not getting haircuts, it's a Din Avelis. Why would this be incorrect? Why would it be incorrect to say that you can't say Shechianu because of the Din Avelis? So the answer is because that's what we're talking about, because you can't say Shechianu. But we're trying to figure out why you can't say Shechianu. Rabbos and Avel can recite Shechianu. And Avel can say Shechianu. It's an explicit Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says, not only could an Avel say Shechianu, an Avel can say Shechianu on the first day of Avelis. not only on the first day of the Avel, but at the same moment that the Avel finds out that they lost, God forbid, their relative, at the same moment that they say Baruch Dayan HaEmes, says the Gemara in Brachos, what happens if a person finds out that a relative of theirs who has a lot of money is, you know, just passed away and they're next in line? So what do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Gemara, Paskins the Shulchan Aruch, they say Baruch Atah Dayan HaEmes, and then they say Shechiyan, Atah V'meitu, and Shechiyan are the sister brachas. What? You're right. So I guess maybe after the Kippurah, I have to figure out the details. Maybe he found out that there was a burial already. You're right. No name is Pata from Brachas. Thank you. Right. It's a lot of money then, even a no name.
Let's be honest, Paul. Then you make the Shechia the first and the dynamics later.
So, okay. So it's clear that who says this? The Gross says this. The Gross says this point that we're making right now. Since we see from the Gemara Brachas that if a person loses a relative who had money, and therefore they're yashrim money, they do say Shechianu. So you see an Avel is going to recite Shechianu, says the Gruff. An Avel is going to recite Shechianu. Certainly, during the 3 weeks, we're not as, I mean, there's a sense of Avelus, right? There's a little bit of Avelus, but it's not as intense of an Avelus as Shiva, as Yom Shah, as Mesa Mutulafanov at the first day of Avelus. And if an Avel, even on the first day, could say Shechianu, so certainly we could say Shechem during the 3 weeks. And therefore, Rabbi said, guess what? The Gra argues on the Shulchan Aruch because of this point. The Gra says, I just proved to you that there's no halach in Hilchas Avelos that you can't say Shechianu. And therefore, says the Gra, this halach of the Shulchan Aruch, you see, even the Shulchan Aruch didn't say it aser to say Shechianu during the 3 weeks. He says, Tovli Zaher. But that's as good as the Shulchan Aruch, you know, that's pretty strong. If the Shulchan Aruch says it's good to avoid it, that means we don't do it, of course. Says the Gra, Chumra Yaseirahi. This line of the Shulchan Aruch is a Chumra Yaseira, an excessive Chumra to avoid Shechianu. If an Avil could say Shechianu, I don't see why not, says the Gra. I don't see why during the 3 weeks we can't say Shechianu. That's the Gra's argument against the Shulchan Aruch. Comes the Magen Avraham. I mean, the Gra knew this Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, you know what? The issue here at hand has nothing to do with Avelus. It's nothing to do with Avelus. There's a different reason. The other reason, you know why the Shulchan Aruch says we don't say Shechianu on the 3 weeks? Because of a technical point. I shouldn't say a technical point, because of the words of the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shechianu v'kiyanu v'higiyanu la'zman hazeh. You're talking about an auspicious time, a good, happy time. And the 3 weeks is not a good, happy, auspicious time. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham, we're not going to recite Shechianu. The reason why the Shulchan Aruch says not to recite Shechianu has nothing to do with Avelus. And therefore, I don't care whether Avelus is like this or like that. That's not the point. It's a different issue entirely. It's the fact that this is a Zman Puranus. Says the Magen Avraham, came into Zman Ahu Zman Puranus. We can't say Lazman Hazeh, Shechianu Lazman Hazeh. We're not happy to have achieved, to have reached this point in time, because this point in time is indeed not a happy point in time. So that's Machlokas, Magen Avraham and Gra. The Gra seemingly has a very strong argument. If you assume that it's Avelus, then an Avel could say Shechianu. So presumably, anyone, you know, during the 3 weeks we could say Shechianu. I want to share with you how we could reject that opinion of the Gra, that proof of the Gra, that, hey, if an Avel could say Shechianu, certainly during the 3 weeks, we should be able to say Shechianu. And this rejection is from a sefer that was before the Gra, Shailas Uchuvas Hil Halachas Ketanos. Halachas Ketanos was written by Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz, who was a Sephardi, he was born in Morocco, and lived in Italy. Then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz was asked a different question. Listen to this. The question that he's dealing with is, if you have a base Avel, I once mentioned this in one of my shiurim recently. I have a student from France, and we all have our, you know, images of what a Frenchman is. A Frenchman is a person who has a wine with every meal, right? So I went to pay a shiva call to him when he lost his mother a few years ago, and he was in my shiur. And I go, and his father's sitting there on a random Tuesday You know, I went straight from YU to Riverdale where he was sitting. No one else. It was a quiet time. No one else was there. It was a Tuesday, I guess at like 12:30. He's sitting there eating lunch that somebody had brought over with a cup of red wine, like a proper Frenchman. So, okay, Frenchmen drink wine even during Avelis. You're allowed to drink Avelis. Well, a person's allowed to drink wine, of course, during Avelis. The question is, let's say a person has one wine and they bring out a better wine. So typically, when a person brings out a better wine, what's recited? Atov HaMeitah. So Rav Yaakov Chagiz, Halachas Ketanos is asked, does an Avel, who's drinking wine, like my French student's father, who's drinking wine while he was eating his lunch while he was sitting Shiva, if he brings out a better wine, will he recite Hatov HaMeitiv? That was the Shaila that he was asked. The first thing that the Halachas Katana says is, don't bring me a proof from the story in Gemara and Brachos when a guy dies and gets a Yerusha. Don't bring it. That's the first line of his answer. He says, don't bring me a proof from the story with the person who dies, because that's, I don't want to, because that's, that happened, you're not engineering the situation. A person dies, he's informed that that somebody dies. So he says, here you're engineering a situation to get yourself into a bracha of Hatov HaMeitiv. You're going to the basement, you're going to the garage to get a bottle of wine. Maybe there, it's a little bit, you're engineering, okay, maybe if a person finds themselves having to say Shachiyonu, okay, they got a Yerusha, they'll say Shachiyonu. But to put themselves proactively into a situation where they'll be obligated to say the Hatov HaMeitiv that far, I don't know. Continues the Rav Yaakov Chagiz to say the following. He says, second, please. Then he says the following. He says that you can't bring a proof from Avelis, of a Yachid to the 3 weeks, to Avelis for the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, the Gra, who wasn't born yet, but the Gra who's going to bring a proof, he's referring to the Svar of the Gra. The Gra brought a proof that we mentioned a moment ago, that if a Yachid who's an Avelus can recite Shachianu, certainly during the 3 weeks, which is a lower level of Avelus, we certainly could recite Shachianu. Says the Halachas Ketanos, that is not a good Svara. You know why? Because maybe there's a fundamental difference between these two types of Avelus. It's true the level of Avelus of an Avel is stronger than the 3 weeks, but they're different animals. You're comparing apples and oranges. Because one is Avelis on a Yachid, and one is Avelis Derabim. Avelis Derabim, when we were having the Avelis for the 3 weeks, that, even though the 3 weeks is less intense in a certain sense than Shiva, true, it is less intense than Shiva. Shiva has more halachos that are applicable than the 3 weeks, that's true. But it's still a different animal. Avelis Derabim, what we call the Avelis on the Beis HaMikdash, is Avelis Derabim. It's a more stringent type of Avelis. And therefore, even if we would permit the Yachid, the individual who got a Yerusha, found out that his uncle died, that his father died even, we'll permit him after he says Baruch Dayan HaMes to say Shachianu, maybe that's only because it's only Avelis de Yachid. But during the 3 weeks, which is Avelis de Rabim, we would be more stringent and we would not allow a Shachianu, because Avelis de Rabim, even though it's only the 3 weeks, it's true, it's less intense than Avelis of Shiva, but ultimately it is Avelis for the Beis HaMikdash, which is more chamer in general than Avelis to Yachid. And he brings a proof. He brings a proof from my student's father, the Frenchman. He says, there a lot of people have the minhag. I don't know if he's talking about the 9 days, or Shavuot Shechalba, or the 3 weeks. He was a Sephardi, so I'm assuming he's not talking about the 3 weeks, but he says, there's a lot of people have the minhag not to drink wine during the Avelis of the Beis HaMikdash. During this time period, 3 weeks, 9 days, Shavuot Shechalba, whatever you want to have, what's the halacha of an avel drinking wine? Is an avel allowed to drink wine?
Yes.
We just said, yeah, 100% he is. Not only that, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's a wonderful thing. Wine was created. That's right. Very good. Very good. Right. The pasuk says, "Give yayin lemori nefesh." Those who are bitter, those who are down, those who are sad, those who are, you know, depressed, give them wine. Give them wine. Medicate. What? Yayin yismach levavenosh. 100%. That's also true. So says the Rav Yaakov Chagiz, we see that there are certain areas where Avelus derabim could be more chamer than Avelus diyachid, because Avelus diyachid we are allowed to drink wine, and we do give them wine. And when it comes to Avelus for the Beis HaMikdash, we don't. So you see that in certain aspects, the Avelus for the Beis HaMikdash is more severe, is more chamer than the Avelus of an individual. And therefore, this svar would reject the Gra's suggestion that if an Avel could say Shachianu, certainly during the 3 weeks that we could say Shachianu. And here, according to the svar, we're saying absolutely not. An Avel might be able to say Shachianu because that's only Avelus the Yachid, but Avelus the Rabbim, the Avelus for the Beis HaMikdash might be more severe. Let's stop here. Halacha l'maisa, the way the Mishnah Berurah paskens, do we avoid saying Shachian or not? The answer is, Gra says you could do whatever you want. The other Achronim say, no, you can't say Shachianu. How do we paskin? We have a compromise psak. The halacha is that during the 3 weeks, on Shabbos, we will be lenient, and we will allow Shachianu to be recited. But on the weekdays, we'll be machmir and not recite a Shachianu. That's the compromise position that the Mishnah Berurah and some of the later Acharonim adopt. So halacha l'maisa, we won't. So going back to the Sheitel Shaila, I have to think this out. I didn't think this out. I told them I'll get back to them tomorrow because I was, you know, working on the sugya right now. But the watch should come out. If somebody wants to get a new Sheitel, so if you buy, I don't want to bore those of you who are not into the details of sheitels, but there are two kinds of sheitels you could buy. You could buy a custom or you could buy a pre-cut. If you buy a pre-cut, that means, well, let's assume like this. I'm assuming any lady who's going to buy a sheitel is going to have it cut for herself. That means that you probably wouldn't say a shachianu till it's, just like when you buy a suit that you can't wear because it does, you didn't have the hems, the cuffs cuffed, and you didn't have, it has to be taken in or let out, or longer. So just like when you buy a suit, you don't say Shachianu, even though Shachananu says you make the Shachianu when you buy something. No, absolutely not. When you buy it, that's the halacha. However, in a case where it has to be tailored, so you wait till it's not ready to be worn, so then you wait till you actually wear it. So let's think about this together. If a woman will always have a sheitel cut, presumably, that should be some, if she would never walk out with the sheitel in the natural form, she always would want it cut. So presumably, it would be just like buying a suit that has to be cuffed, that has to be taken in or taken out. So you wouldn't recite the bracha until you put it on. Let's think together now. So you wouldn't recite the bracha when you buy it. You'd only recite the bracha when you wear it. Ah, so if a woman's buying a new sheitel, when does she usually wear it the first time? If it's not for a simcha?
It's a great joy.
Usually, there's a great joy in buying a nice soup. You don't say shachianu because it's not ready yet. When do you wear, when would you make a bracha on this, on your new suit? When you put it on, that first Shabbos you put it on. I would imagine that if a woman would be buying a sheitel for the first time, not for the first, if a woman's buying a new sheitel, I could imagine that she might wear it for the first time on Shabbos. Rabosa, what's the halacha about reciting Shachianu on Shabbos? Mutter. So if our cheshbon is right, again, I didn't look this up, I didn't speak to anybody, but I'm just speaking this out with you right now. If she would buy it in a way that it's not ready to be worn, it has to be cut, so she's not going to make the Shachianu when she buys it. She'll take it to be cut. It's not in her head when they cut it. They cut it, I don't know, maybe it is on their head, maybe it's on a, whatever. The Sheitel Mach will cut it. And then if she wears it on Shabbos, she can make the Shachianu on Shabbos. So that might be, I'm not saying halacha l'maisa, but that's just the cheshbon that I think we could.
Does she make Shachianu?
So do you make a Shachianu Sheitel? I don't want to get personal, but I'm going to ask you how much you spent on your suit and how much your wife spent on the last sheitel she bought. But I think if you're willing to say Shachianu on a $300 suit, I assume she's going to say Shachianu. She has the right to say Shachianu on a $3,000 sheitel.
Well, she made Shachianu on the last sheitel she bought.
Right. You're right. Most women don't think of it. Once we ask the Shaila, we realize maybe you should say Shachianu.
You make a
Shachianu
on a new knee.
Ah. Okay. You say mechim etzade gaver. Okay, Rabosa, I want to talk about something else now. In this discussion, we just mentioned that we'll talk about some divrei hashkafa about the since every hashkafa about this time period about Avelis on the Churban Beis HaMikdash, I found some fascinating ideas. One fascinating idea that I'd like to share with you. We just mentioned the lashon of the Rav Yaakov Chagiz, the Halachas Ketanos, that there are many people who are nimna these days from not eating basar v'yayin. So in this context, in this discussion about Sheikh Yonah, there's a taz on the Shulchan Aruch, and he says the following. He says, why is it that there are those who are machmir, who are nimna, the prushim, don't eat meat or drink wine from Shavuos b'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av? You hear that? You thought you had a hard time for a week? Right? There are those who are nich machmir from Yud Zayin b'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. There's some people who fast entirely, the whole 3 weeks. Okay, I guess it's like a Ramadan type of thing. They eat at nights, I'm assuming. You can't fast for three weeks a day. So he says there are three reasons, says the Taz, why we fast, why there are those who fast, why there are Yechidim who fast from Shavuos b'Tammuz, from today, from yesterday actually, until Tisha B'Av. We'll get to the first reason in a minute. That's what I'd like to speak about. He says reason number two is the same Avelis that you have during the 9 days, it's all one chunk of Avelis. This Avelis starts with Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, it ends with Tisha B'Av, so whatever you're going to be machmir for any part of the Avelis, it's all one chunk of Avelis that begins on Shavuos b'Tammuz and goes until the Tisha B'Av. It's just one chunk. So if you're going to be machmir on part of it, you'll be machmir on the entire thing because it's all one unit in time of the beginning of the destruction to the end of the destruction. That's one reason. He gives another reason, and this is fascinating. I wanted to talk about this, but I didn't have time to develop it. But he says, one of the points that we mentioned this morning in the Slichos is what are the five things that happened on Shavuos b'Tammuz. So we said in Slichos this morning, Ki b'Shavuos b'Tammuz batel ha-tamid. The Karban Tamid was discontinued as of Shavuos b'Tammuz. Is that referring to the first Beis HaMikdash or the second Beis HaMikdash? I'm assuming the second Beis HaMikdash. Right. Okay. So the Karbanos, says the Taz, on the 17th of Tammuz was the time that the Karbanos stopped, the Tamid stopped. Certainly the other Karbanos stopped. What else stopped? The Nisach HaYayin. So on Shavuos b'Tammuz, there was the stopping of the Basar al HaMizbeach and the Yayin on the Mizbeach. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol, beautiful image to think of, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol stopped having the opportunity to consume Kivyachol, our gifts of Yayin and Basar, the Karbanos and the Yayin L'Nisachim, so we too should be able to refrain from Basar and Yayin as well. That's a very powerful idea. I'd like to speak about the third idea. Third idea is the following. The reason why there are those who fast for 3 weeks, those who don't eat meat and wine for 3 weeks, is because Daniel, between the first and second Beis HaMikdash, Daniel fasted for 3 weeks. I'd like to speak with you for the next few minutes about a small section in Daniel, Sefer Daniel, where we see Daniel fasted for 3 weeks. So what's the historical context for Daniel? Daniel, again, this the timeline is a little bit complicated and a little confusing to everybody, but to me as well. So Daniel lives in the time after, of course, Achashverosh. Achashverosh had a son named Daryavesh, and that's while we were in the Golus Bavel in the 70 years between the first and the second Beis HaMikdash. And if I'm not mistaken, Daryavesh had a son named Koresh. Koresh allowed the Jewish people to build the Beis HaMikdash. And there was a great celebration. The Jewish people went up to build the Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash. Does anyone know what happened after they started building it? It didn't work out. The Beis HaMikdash didn't get built. The second Beis HaMikdash did not get built. there were people who tattletaled, our enemies who are still living in Eretz Yisrael, tattletaled to the Bavli government, to whoever the king of Paras and Bavel were at the time, and told them that the Jews aren't doing this, that the Jews are bad, the Jews are bad, and the permission to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash was rescinded. Daniel heard about this, and Daniel was very saddened. So what happens? Bayamim Haheim, after this happened, that drawing back of the permission of the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, Bayamim Haheim, Ani Daniel, Hayisim Is Abel, Shlosha Shavuim Yamim, 3 weeks of days. I didn't eat for 3 weeks. Look at the words that he says. Was it a full fast or not a full fast? By the way, if you Google this, you'll find something fascinating. There's something called the Daniel fast. I'm not sure if it's a religious thing. Go ahead. The Daniel fast. I don't know if it's like a Christian thing, like to fast for 21 days, or it's a fad diet. You know, 21 days, don't eat this or that. What are the parameters of the Daniel fast? Here it is. Says Daniel, Lechem chamados l'achalti. I didn't eat fine wheat products. I didn't eat lechem chamados, good bread, white bread. Ubasar v'yayin, lo ba'el pi. And meat and wine did not enter my mouth. V'soch lo sachti, and I didn't anoint myself with oil. Ad melo shlosha shvuim yamim, for the duration of 3 weeks. You found it?
Christian.
Okay, it's a Christian thing, so don't do it. Not good. So Daniel fasted for 3 weeks. What was he fasting about? So it's not clear if he fasted entirely, or he just fasted from not eating bread and wine and yayin, or maybe fasted everything, not clear. But what was he fasting about?
Losing the permit.
Exactly, about losing the permit. You know, if you're building a house and you finally get to see, you're killing yourself. Those of you who did construction know what it's like to, you know, the dream of getting the CFO, and you finally, after who knows what, you jumped through hoops and you did everything and you paid the contractors overtime and you finally got a CFO, and you're ready to move in and you have the movers, and then the day before you're about to move in, you get a call from the building department and they said, I'm sorry, we just realized something wrong, that we're pulling it back. But besides yourself, that's what happened. Lahavdil, Afi Avdalos, Daniel fasts for 3 weeks because of this taking back of the permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. So we could understand where this minhag comes from. This minhag of fasting for 3 weeks is not just, oh, Daniel fasted for 3 weeks, or Daniel didn't eat wine and meat for 3 weeks, so let's do it also. No, Daniel's fast, or his abstention from wine and meat, was specifically a certain kind of avelus on the, again, I can't say the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because there was no Beis HaMikdash, it was about 50-some-odd years into the Gullus of the 70-year Gullus, that they thought they were going to have it, but it didn't work out. So that was his fast for the fact that the Beis HaMikdash wasn't able to be built.
Why did Christians take it over?
Because the Christians study Tanakh, and we don't. So we didn't even know. No one here knew that there was something called that Daniel fasted. They read Bible, so it's a... So they get to lose weight because they learn Tanakh. If we learn Tanakh, we'll be in better shape also. Fine. Continue. I just want to share with you one or two ideas of, I think, very powerful ideas from this story in Daniel in the 5 minutes that are remaining. So after Daniel fasts for 21 days, Amalek comes to him to reassure him that Klal Yisrael is going to be okay in the end. There's going to be Yeshua in the end. And the Malach tells him something incredible, an incredible line. The Malach says to Daniel after he's fasting for 21 days, Vayomri lai, this Malach says to me, says Daniel, Al tira Daniel, don't be worried. Listen to this. Ki min hayom harishon, from the very first day of the 3 weeks that you fasted, from the min hayom harishon asher nasata es libcha, that you set your mind, lahavin ulhisanos, to concentrate on this and to fast, L'fnei Elokecha, nishmu dvarecha. Your words were already accepted. You see, I think, an incredibly powerful tool in Avodas Hashem. The Malach is telling Daniel that it's not the fact that after you fasted for 21 days, you did a superhuman dedication for the L'man the Beis HaMikdash, L'man Hashem, and after 21 days of this superhuman dedication, finally I'm going to listen to your tefillos. L'min hayom harishon asher nasata es libcha lahavin ul hisanos, the first day that you committed yourself to be willing to do something incredible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from that moment Hashem answered your tefillos. It's an incredible idea. I happen to have seen the same exact idea in Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva. More of an Erev Rosh Hashanah, Yom Naram type of discussion. But there Rabbeinu Yonah says, Matsasi Pesach Tikva. Everyone knows of Petach Tikva? Yeah, everyone visited Petach Tikva? Do you ever think about the name of the town? It's the most beautiful name of any city in the world in my mind. It's a Pesach of hope. It's the doorway of hope. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, before, not talking about the city, but talking about the concept. A doorway of hope for somebody who needs to do tshuva, for somebody who's sunken in whatever depths of, whatever morass of chait that they might find themselves, a Pesach Tikva, a doorway of hope. What is it? If a person makes a Kabbalah, a commitment to do something, or to improve something, or to change something, says Rabbeinu Yonah, from the moment that he brings Pesukim, not this Pesach, if I'm not mistaken, he brings some other Pesach to prove, from the moment that the person makes that commitment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it as though the entire commitment has already been fulfilled. And therefore the schar, or the Yeshua, or the Hatzalah, that the person is making this commitment to gain, could be gained immediately from the first moment, even before they actually have the time to carry that commitment out. Which is why the Bali Mutzar always say that before the Amun Aram, the point is to make a Kabbalah, even a tiny Kabbalah. What's the point of a Kabbalah? A Kabbalah, a tiny change, a tiny commitment, it's meaningless until you actually carry it through over the next weeks, months, whatever it might be. No, absolutely not, says Rabbeinu Yonah. That's this point in Sefer Daniel. From the very fact that Daniel made the commitment, from then already, even before he actually did fast for 21 days, and the time that he committed to fast those 21 days, already Nishmu Dvarecha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see that we are committed to serving him a little bit better these 3 weeks, a little bit more careful with our Lashon Hara, hopefully a little bit more careful with our Ben Adam L'Chavero, and hopefully that commitment that we have, that we're going to try to display, a little bit less connected to our desires for Olam Hazeh, right? We fasted today, so that itself is a demonstration of a commitment. Hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer our tefillos immediately, that we should be zochet to the Geula Shleima, Meher of Yameinu. Amen. Amen. Amen.